Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, episode 22 of this show. It's the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Jim Viscardi, and I am back to take control after the rambunctious Geodude shaming of last episode.
We did from my co-hosts,
Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
I got plenty of compliments. Yeah. My hosting abilities, and I'm feeling uncomfortable right now.
I next to you. am gone for one episode, and all hell breaks loose, and you just go after all of my favorites.
I would just like to state for the record that it was 100% Megan's fault.
Your propaganda is not appreciated.
I mean, I have the Slack receipts that I can show you of Hoffer's incessant.
No, they're I'm sure they've deleted by now. Unless you screenshot those things, they are gone into the ether.
If you are new to this show, I'm obviously a big Geodude and its evolution fans. Megan likes Vaporeon for some reason, and who knows what Christian likes, but we cover all of the Pokemon things that you come to expect, know, and love over the last, you know, two decades of Pokemon. We cover the games, we cover the anime, we cover the trading card game, we cover the stuff, all of it. This is the show if you want to learn about more Pokemon, if you already love Pokemon, or if you want to love Pokemon even more. The show is broken up into three parts. We do a quick hit news flash in the first half, we do a deep dive in the second half, and then the fan favorite segment of the week from Christian is the Pokemon fact, which last week was pretty great. So if you have not listened to it, when I listened to it, I was like, A+, Pokemon fact, Christian.
You're welcome.
So with that, let's jump right into it. First up is Pokemon Go. There's a new Community Day Pokemon, and it is, in my opinion, one of the worst. Christian, what it is.
I am absolutely horrified that you would say that, Jim. I mean, I'm not surprised knowing your terrible taste in Pokemon. The Pokemon is Trapinch, which on its own is a little bit underwhelming, but it evolves into Flygon, which is one of the most popular Pokemon from the Hoenn region. It basically looks like a cool dragon with goggles, and everyone loves it except for Jim, who sucks.
No. I did not say that. I said, I don't like Trapinch.
Well, you have to start somewhere.
You can't get the end result without taking the steps. You got to trust the process. Yeah, trust the process of Trapinch becoming Flygon.
So is there anything special about this Trapinch other than it's just the Community Day Pokemon?
I mean, we won't know what the special move is until closer to the event. This is, since it's a non-starter Pokemon, you know, the starter Pokemon, we always know what their exclusive moves are, but, these non-starter Pokemon are a bit of a surprise. So we'll have to find out. It'll be shiny like it always is.
Okay. So the shinies look like, why does it have to be shiny?
If you are a new listener to this show, we have very strong opinions about shiny Pokemon in general.
Yes.
So
yes, you do.
That's where
Hoffer also has strong ideas. Don't just pin this on me.
Well, no. I mean, I think a lot of it really comes down to there's some that I think look great, and there are others that are just awful. And it's just it blows my mind that it isn't just kind of cool across the board, as opposed to really being so hit or miss when it comes to shiny Pokemon.
At least it's not like Trapinch with a flower crown on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, people are still talking about that. People are so upset about the Eevee with the flower crown. Is this a justified hatred, or is this a people just need to suck it up and get over it?
I'll be 100% honest. I have totally fallen off Pokemon Go since that announcement. Like, not, you know, I'll check in every once in a while. Like, I'll check in, like, you know, during my daily walks and stuff. But I no longer have the drive to, like, complete field research tasks like I used to. Like, I used to complete those things every day, like freaking clockwork. And for the next 2 months, I just do not have any desire to do it. It just, I don't need any more Flower Crown Eevees. I have like 50 of them.
Megan?
It is true.
As someone who plays every day?
I mean, I've always been iffy on the field research stuff. I got my Eevees because I did not have one, right? I mean, like, I had some, but I didn't have enough. I wanted more. I have enough. My quota has been reached. And now I think it's over. I think it has lasted an excessively long period.
So how much longer do we have of Flower Crown Eevee?
Until the end of October.
It's too long.
Good Lord.
It's not even October yet.
No, it's
like,
not.
Yeah. It needed to run through September, and then it needed to stop.
Yeah.
Because now I'm about to put Rahoffers out, where it's like, all right, I did it. It's done. I got them. I'm good.
Yeah. What's like, next? It's right now, it really feels like a waiting game. Like, we're just waiting to get to Halloween. You know, they brought back Giratina as the next legendary raid Pokemon, so there's no new legendary raid Pokemon to get. Mewtwo is back as the EX boss for the next month and a half. So, you know, I have like a dozen Mewtwo, so I don't need that. Mm-hmm. And sure, it's like the Shadow Ball Mewtwo, which is like used to be a pretty good Pokemon. But as the game has evolved and the introduction of Giratina, which is a ghost type Pokemon, and has better ghost type moves than Mewtwo's, you know, Shadow Ball is a ghost type move for Mewtwo. So, you know, it's no longer as relevant in the metagame. And so, you know, that's just kind of like, oh, well, that's a Pokemon to get. So it's a lot of just kind of like, well, when is the cool stuff happening? Mm-hmm. I just pull Pokemon again. And also, like, it's hard. I don't know about you guys, but I have not found a Love Gen 5 Pokemon up here.
Well, so that's going to lead right into our next thing, because if this happened to me, especially with the low spawn rate of the Gen 5 Pokemon, I would be pissed. Ditto is back. And he's
Ditto never left.
Well, right, but I mean, but it's his spawn rates as Gen 5 Pokemon seem to be a bit more increased than I think people have. At least that's what I've seen online. So I may be totally wrong.
They're not Gen 5 Pokemon. They're common species. So what happens is every time that one of Ditto's species gets a shiny, people got. It used to be like, oh, I got this like shiny Pidgey. Oh no, it's Ditto, and people were pissed. So they start cycling out species. So whenever one of Ditto's species gets, you know, a shiny, it switches up. So it's like Seedot and Beetle, and there's one other species that I can't forget. I didn't think this was that big of a story, but like turned into like comicbook.com's like third biggest story of the day for whatever reason. I was like, I guess people still care about Ditto. It's just, you know, keep your eye out.
Yeah.
Seedot, I guess.
Now, why do you think the Gen 5 spawn rates are as low as they seem to be?
Because Niantic is confused. it boils down to Niantic.
Well, it just feels like we got a bunch of great things leading it. You know, the summer was a pretty fun summer for Pokemon Go. We're all excited for the Gen 5 launch. And now it's like, well, where the hell are they?
They blew through a lot of their great ideas. One.
I think that part of it is this is just the natural progression of the game. We have like 500 Pokemon in Pokemon Go now, you know, so it's kind of like, okay, if you still have Pidgey in the game, you know, that's taking up space that could go to like a common Gen 5 Pokemon. And so as more and more of those species, you know, get added to the game, I think that it's just they're just naturally going to be rarer just because there's more
do
of them.
You now this is tinfoil hat time,
okay,
but do you think that there are regions of the country / the world that are getting much higher Gen 5 spawn rates that don't know about?
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Yeah.
So Niantic is really just making Pokemon feel more realistic by making people have to travel.
I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily their goal. I think they're probably off testing it in bigger metropolitan areas. Because, like, I have friends in New York who are, like, catching these. And, like, I see them with their, like, attached avatars. And I'm like, I want it, but I can't have it. I think that they're probably, like, soft testing it in bigger population dense areas to, like, make sure they've got it out before they're like, all right, full spawn rate rollout nationwide, globally.
The cities always have, like, the denser spawn rates anyway. Well, of course, you know, like, you know, you go to New York City and it's just a constant, non-ceasing barrage of Pokemon, where, like, you know, like, I, like, whenever I open up my phone, you know, I live in a pretty dense urban area. Whenever I open my phone, there's always, like, a, you know, like, 10 or so Pokemon around me. You know, it's just that, you know, I keep noticing that, like, I'm not getting, like, the Snivy or the Tepig. And I think, you know, I usually don't get those starter Pokemon. It's just, I think I'm a little bit more used to, like, having the opportunity to get those. Like, when they've done past rollouts, like, oh, by the way, we're going to boost up the spawn rate. And they just haven't yet. And that's kind of weird. I don't get it.
Given the mix of low Gen 5 spawn rates and the prevalence of Flower Crown Eevee, if this does not get fixed in time, not saying there's going to be a mass exodus, but could this lead to a true low point for Pokemon Go for the everyday player, which I would imagine is what Niantic is truly relying on these days for, you know, their cash flow slash whatever? Or do you not? Do you think it's more of a tempest in a teapot? The internet's just mad about it, and the internet's always going to be mad about it.
Yeah, I don't think this is, you know, that big of a deal. We just came off of, like, three action-packed Ultra Bonus Weeks in which, like, everyone thought this game was the greatest ever again.
Yep.
So, you know, you can't go from that to saying, like, this is a true low point.
No.
I mean, you can. But, you know, I'm sure the internet's like, no, we're just in a little bit of a lull. It's happened before. It'll happen again. It's just the nature of the Pokemon cookies. By the time that Halloween gets here, everyone is going to be, like, rolling over themselves to get whatever. I mean, that's the truth. Like, the Halloween stuff is always, like, really great for Pokemon Go. And look, they just came off of, like, the, like, biggest month of revenue since 2016. So, like, Pokemon Go is doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they'd have anything.
So you're basically saying just sit down and be patient and we'll get through this.
They're just having a lull. They're just figuring out their next big thing to do. I mean, they can't always be action-packed or else we'd be saturated. So I think it's just a period.
Yeah. You know what they are doing, Pokemon Go is doing, is, you know, they're running a new ad campaign where they're reminding people that celebrities play Pokemon Go too. Like, I, like, pop up on my feed over and over.
This is true.
But Justice Smith, you know, did one. Yep. Jenna Fisher from The Office did one. The klutzy guy that's, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's partner or sidekick, whatever the hell they call him.
Diego?
I don't know.
That was Guillermo.
Guillermo.
Yeah, that dude. Sorry, I hate Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
And so, therefore, like, you know, it's just like a blank space in my head when it comes to that show and anything related to it. Like, I thought it was, like, Del Toro, you know, at first,
right,
you know, once, like, you know, they would pop up, and I was like, no, that's not Del Toro's Twitter feed. Who is this guy, and why is he dressed up as a mustached Jigglypuff?
All right, on that note, let's move on to Pokemon Masters. New sync pair.
Yes.
Who cares?
They have added a new sync pair. Okay, next story.
okay, so, I mean, that... I know, Christian, you like the game, and, you know, and you've been playing it a bit. I kind of feel the same way, but it's like, okay, new sync pair. All right. No one cares.
Yeah. It's the issue is that one is a really boring sync pair. No one cares about Filbert from Pokemon Black and his Oshawott. Two, they need to release more actual content. I mean, the sync pair system sucks.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst gotchas I've seen in a long time. It really is a joke, and, like, you know, part of that is because they only have, like, a handful of, like, high quality, like, five stars. Like, in the game I have, like, four random five stars. Like, I have basically all the good ones already. Yeah. And that's, you know, me casually playing. I haven't even opened the game in, like, a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's limited. They're kind of, like, doing this rip, drip, drop on it. The story stuff isn't that compelling, and, like, once you run out, you literally have nothing else to do. Yeah. I have no desire just to do super courses on a daily basis. The story, side story stuff isn't very good. It's kind of a mess. It's a hot mess.
So they killed Pokemon Duel for this.
No, Pokemon Duel.
It was gonna die anyways.
Well, but Pokemon Duel suffered from the same fate, right? Inevitably, at some point, they stopped putting new content into the game. They changed all... I mean, yes, they changed the functionality of, you know, the polls and whatnot there. But had they continued Pokemon, like adding new story content to Pokemon Duel, it could have been a fine game.
So the difference is, and I this could go, Pokemon Masters could go the same direction. Pokemon Duel never added any additional story content, like ever, like since its US release. Right.
It had its story, like, and then they never added it, but they said,
yeah, it literally stopped in the middle of the story. Like one of the main characters got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And that's how they ended it. And it's like, yeah, we'll release new content. They never released new content. And, like, you know, they kind of ended on a weird note with Pokemon Masters. So you go through the tournament. All of the people that you beat join your team, which is like, I don't think that's how tournaments work. You know, that would be like, you know, in the NBA. Like, okay, like, you know, like you know, the Lakers, you know, the Warriors beat the Lakers, and now LeBron's on the Warriors. you know, that's like the equivalent of it. And so that's weird and dumb. And also they ended it on like a, not even like a content note. It was like a story note where it's like the one of your rival characters is like, hey, you, I'm going to beat the snot out of you. And it's like, we've run out of content. We'll get to it eventually. It's like, what was that? Give me something to do. Like, yeah. You know, like at least end it on like an act. It's not even a cliffhanger because you haven't even actually battled this guy. They've shown you battling him in story mode and you've just lost off camera. And it's like, this is dumb. This is not great. I'm disappointed.
So I'm worried about Pokemon Masters, but we'll move on. We got two more quick things we'll hit and then we'll head on into our deep dive. First one is the Pokemon trading card game has a new style of a holographic card. Now, so, correct me if I'm wrong. They haven't done this in quite a while.
So whenever they release a new set, so we're about to enter the Sword and Shield set, yep. They release a new style of holographic. It's a way to differentiate the holographics from one another. So they, you know, we now know what the Sword and Shield holographic looks like. It's going to have these like vertical bars in the background that kind of give it like a textured look to it. And mm-hmm. It looks like pretty cool. It's a very subtle difference. Like you wouldn't probably know it, but you know, it's a way to differentiate Sword and Shield holographics from like, you know, Sun and Moon holographics.
So what was the change for Sun and Moon? Do we remember?
I forget what they changed it to be honest. It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been
around forever.
Four years since 2016.
Yeah,
2016. It was 2016. So yeah, it's been around for 3 years. And honestly, I had only gotten it back into the card game right at the tail end of XY. Like they sent me like a crap ton of cards from the very last set of XY. I have to go and check. But yeah, so we got a new holographic, and there's a couple other like really subtle new changes coming to the game. Resistances have been bumped up. They're back up to, I believe, 30, and they were 20. Certain Pokemon are no longer guaranteed to have resistances to other types.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. Like electric Pokemon always used to be resistant to steel, and they took that away.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Oh, and the other thing is, it looks like V cards, you know, everyone's favorite mechanic.
I can't chuckle when I hear that.
I can't. It's like I'm 10 years old again. The V cards look like they're going to be like EX cards instead of GX cards.
Okay.
So EX cards you could add to your deck, they would make instant impact into your deck. With GX cards, if you had an evolved card, you know, a Pokemon that was an evolution Pokemon, you had to build up to that GX. Yeah. So it's looked like they're going back to the EX system. We don't know everything about the V cards because there's still that like maximum V card. And that's got something to do with Dynamax, and we have no idea what it is. So stay tuned. I'm sure we'll all figure it out here in the next couple of months.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Maximum V card is like a 40-year-old as opposed to regular V card and whatever. Never mind. I'm not going down that road. all right. Last story in our news section. Slowpoke is the governor of a Japanese prefect. Megan?
So he's not currently.
Oh.
He was the governor.
He was the governor.
Oh.
So last year, Slowpoke became the governor of a Japanese prefecture. He basically, like, forcefully took over the position.
One of those things that just like it's an old news story, but people just.
Well, no. There's relevant news.
Okay.
So he basically like forcefully took over it. The governor was gone. He did like a prefecture-wide televised like thank you on TV. Like the mascot showed up and he would only speak in like his like slowpoke voice. Oh, they had an official Pokemon translator who like shared his political platform. And this all happened on April Fool's and then like he never showed up again. And everyone was like, What happened to Governor Slowpoke? Yeah, everyone was like, where's Governor Slowpoke? Well, now it's like a year later, he's returned. He has returned to challenge his rival with a series of like mysterious like manhole covers that they're putting on random streets throughout the prefecture, which like promote Slowpoke.
That is amazing.
So like these like random colorful, and they're like promoting tourism in the area because like his platform is to like support tourism to this prefecture. I can help you do it.
So what does the current governor think?
He seems supportive.
Okay.
He seems...
He's willing to relinquish his governorship to Slowpoke in this?
I feel like that. My favorite thing is the whole reason he was ever even considered as the prefectural governor is because in Japanese, like Slowpoke's name is like Udon, and it sounds really similar to udon, like the noodles. Mm-hmm. And this prefecture is known for udon noodles. So everyone was like, all right, well, obviously it makes sense. If we want to promote tourism, let's have Slowpoke like be our person. And the governor was like, yeah, let's do it. But now the Pokemon company's like, we want our spot back. And everyone's like, wait, he's coming back. This is a joke. So now there's like these, like, I think it's like a set of 12 or 16 like decorative like circular plates that they're installing into streets around the prefecture, around like famous tourism areas and restaurants that promote the, I guess, former Governor Slowpoke who wants his seat back.
That's incredible.
That's my favorite. Kind of amazing. Do you think that, you know, since Slowpoke is re-entering the political sphere, I'm pretty sure, you know, here in the U.S. we're about to have an opening. Very high power.
I mean, I'd be curious. I don't think Slowpoke's necessarily our best bet. I'm not sure out of the 800 something Pokemon we have what all their political platforms are.
That's true.
Of course I'm voting
for
it.
That would be a very interesting exercise.
Yeah.
Let's just go through them all and figure out which side they lean on. And
like, I would have to, like, I personally on a bias level, I would want Vaporeon to obviously take office as our supreme leader in all things.
I don't trust Vaporeon.
But yeah. When it it's comes down to ball. It, I'm going to have to side with Hoffa here, and I'd say Bulbasaur is, like, our best choice.
He is. He's
because he was forward. Very much in the entire
anime. I need
anime.
Someone who's going to be hard on issues, and that's why Golem's the best choice. Moving on.
Golem is a troll. Self-destruct.
Huh?
He'll self-destruct?
Nope.
I was about to say.
No, he won't.
We're already suffering from a candidate that blows up.
All Bulbasaur would do is love you and hug you. And fend off your enemies with a solid whip vine.
Oh, God. So she's going to be like that. What's her face? Who left the... Okay. Never mind. We're moving on. All right. When we get back, we are going to talk about Sword and Shield. There's some stuff that I'm excited to get into because I missed last week's conversation on Sirfetch'd. And there's some new leaks that may blow our minds. So stay tuned when we get
new
back.
New leaks?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. new leaks. Jesus. All right. Sirfetch'd, I think, is great.
Yes.
It's what everyone wanted. I think you guys were right yesterday. It was meme-tastic. It re-energized sort of the conversation around Sword and Shield in a way that hasn't happened in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and weeks. In literal weeks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, the internet was losing their crap about Pokemon Sword and Shield like a month ago.
Yeah.
But it's been like 4 weeks since that's happened. So Sirfetch'd, you know, needed to come in and make the save. Mm-hmm. And he did. I love our chunky boy knight. I can't wait to use him.
I think it's, I mean, it's a great design, which is one of the things that I think we've been, you know, a little hard on, or, you know, in recent weeks, just sort of looking at some of the other stuff. But he's a great design. It seems like we've been getting a lot of bird Pokemon, as reveals. I feel like we've gotten quite a bit, between, you know, Corviknight and, oh God, why am I already forgetting the pelican one? Christian's favorite, the one that shoots fish.
You're going to get a fish to the face for forgetting its name.
but the thing here is Sirfetch'd is a sword exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And is a fighting type. So did we know that the fighting type was going to be exclusive to Sword? Or did I miss that?
Yes. Not before, like when the announcement came out. Not beforehand.
Okay, so let's talk about what the actual rumor is. So the theory is that the reason why Sirfetch'd is exclusive to Pokemon Sword is because it's a fighting type Pokemon. In Pokemon Sword and Shield is unique among the Pokemon games because we'll have a fighting type gym exclusive to Sword and a ghost type gym exclusive to Shield.
So there's exclusive gyms. Okay.
Yeah, so they're exclusive gyms. So So Sirfetch'd, the theory is that Sirfetch'd will be like the mascot Pokemon, or who the trainer, she's like the kickboxer, gym leader, and the creepy ghost kid will have his very own version exclusive Pokemon of some kind.
My God, if this is a Galarian type evolution or whatever. And it's from the original set of 151. I would love it to be Gengar with a top hat, or an evolved Gengar of some sort with a top hat.
That will never happen.
True. Yeah.
The reason why is one.
What about an evolved Gengar with a monocle?
It's just Gengar has been used so much. However, the creators of Pokemon continually say how much they love Gengar because he's so easy to design and animate because he's literally a box with ears and he's purple.
I would say if it was in a Galarian of evolution exclusive whatever, and it was we're limiting it to just because of Farfetch'd, I think the Gengar or next evolution for that line feels like, given the Pokemon Company's proclivity to Ghastly Haunter Gengar, is not a bad choice to potentially pick.
I mean, it's not a bad choice in terms of popularity, but the issue is you've brought up two reasons. Here's two reasons why it's not going to be Gengar. Number one, Gengar is already fully evolved Pokemon. We've never had a four-tier evolution Pokemon that would literally break the mold of Pokemon, which, you know, has happened before, but I don't think they're going to do it on a version-exclusive Pokemon.
Okay.
Two, top hat and the monocle's already been done. We have Galarian Weezing. We're not going to just have, like, you know, this isn't Victorian Pokemon. This is not Downton's Pokemon.
Yeah, they can't stereotype too hard here. However, I will, in a little bit of defense, the idea of me getting to say Galarian Gengar in repetition.
I mean, the
alliteration there is pretty fabulous. Galarian Gengar. Try saying that like 10 times fast.
Okay.
I do appreciate that.
Is there a Pokemon that you guys think it could be? Or do you think it's a new Pokemon, potentially?
Well, the theory is that it's going to be a Galarian Chadot. I don't remember how this theory came to pass. There's a couple of Pokemon websites that are pushing it pretty hard. So the big rumor is that we're going to get Chadot, which I think that's a waste. Mm-hmm. I don't like Chadot. I hate Chadot, and here's the reason why.
Okay.
Pokemon X and Y, I would go and, like, you know, level up my teams after every town, and there was one area that had a bunch of Chadot, and those things were a bitch to beat. Like a freaking bitch. They suck so much. It was so hard. Level up my Pokemon in that area because these things would just blast me with their stupid attacks. I just hated them. And so I would just bring like electric Pokemon. Like, it's like, to hell with this. I'm bringing Zapdos.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not just going to beat you. I'm going to annihilate you.
Like, I'm going to wipe the species off the planet. Come to me. Come to your doom.
I mean, I'm trying to think because, again, like, the whole idea is like, Farfetch got his big evolution, never really got one before. He almost got one before, it never happened, and now he's got it. So, like, it's difficult. Like, it's almost worth, like, kind of, like, thinking about, like, what other, like, scrap designs have been done and, like, that they could, like, revitalize with the Galarian twist.
Or, I mean, are there any Pokemon-like Farfetch'd left in the early
stages?
Pinsir.
Oh, right. You guys mentioned Pinsir last week.
Yeah, he's, like... Yeah. He's really like the last one, a ghostly pincer that.
Oh, that thing would be creepy as hell.
Yeah, like that would, I would be like a ghost bug, literally two of my least favorite things ever, like in real life. So, I mean, I'm still like voting, like complete that like catalog. But yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be hard to be Sirfetch'd, but.
Yeah. Well, that's because everyone loves Sirfetch'd. I mean, I've never seen the internet so quickly, like, you know, like they've so far they've gotten Wooloo and they're like, oh, Wooloo is our favorite. And then Yamper showed up and they threw Wooloo out the window and they're like, Yamper is my favorite. And then they threw Yamper out the window and they're now like, Sirfetch'd is my favorite. So like they're really up in the bar here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think we will get this before the game comes out? Will they tell us who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They almost have to, right?
Yeah, for sure. They'll tell us.
So,
I mean,
so people know which ones.
And I feel like in the next big announcement, like they might have like another trailer or something and show like a couple of like bland Pokemon and then they're going to come back with another. Because like with Sirfetch, they had the really interesting like tease of it. Mm-hmm. They'll do another thing like that. It'll be like hidden somewhere. Like, and then they'll do the tease like that. So.
And they did such a good job rolling out that piece.
That was such a great one. Mm-hmm. Right.
I really hope that they do that more often.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, I really hope that's, like, the future of Pokemon.
Like, I would love for them to just do, like, a who's that Pokemon, like, silhouette thing, but of one of the new ones. And just, like, let people go crazy thinking whatnot there. Like, it's just a cool, easy, fun way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I just... For those who may not know, I used to do a PR for Marvel Comics, and we loved our silhouette teasers.
Oh my god, you loved them so much. That was easy fodder. Yeah. I mean, I remember making wild speculation and being right like 90% of the time. but the 10% that I wasn't, oh boy, you know, that's fine.
All right, moving on before we get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week. So a Japanese Pokemon website may have leaked some evolution lines.
Yeah, so they did this like nifty little thing where it's like, oh, let's do a Dynamax camera. So you could insert Dynamax Pokemon into like photos that you upload on the site. So being the internet, they immediately like data mined the crap out of that website. And they found out that a bunch of the Pokemon that are featured on that website have like code names, which is stuff like Gorilla and stuff like that. You know, just common like names. But what was interesting was that they all seem to follow a certain like naming convention where like, you know, Grookey, for instance, was Gorilla 1 because Grookey is the first in that evolutionary line. And so what they found out was that Corviknight was actually the third in whatever its codename was, which seems to indicate that Corviknight is actually like the Pidgeot as opposed to, you know, like... Mm-hmm. wasn't going to be the Pidgey, obviously, but you know, like it's the, you know, final evolution form instead of just being a standalone, which was kind of like what I think a lot of people sort of expected, you know, because it was, you know, featured so prominently so early on. Like usually when we get those like common Pokemon, we get like, you know, Fletchling or, whatever the bird Pokemon, the woodpecker Pokemon, which I'm just totally blanking on right now from, Pokemon Sun and Moon. So also we found out that if this is correct, Alchemy, Voltigeist, and Dreadnought are all evolved forms of Pokemon that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would make sense to me having seen those Pokemon. Poltegeist is a little strange.
Yeah, Poltegeist feels like a little, an early form.
It seems like a standalone oddity. Yeah, that's what,
maybe now its first one is just like a teacup. before it evolves into.
That's what a lot of people have said, and if that becomes true, like whenever Poltergeist was announced, and it was like somebody found from like 2014, someone coined the Poltergeist name on like Reddit or 4chan. They also coined teacup Pokemon, and if that turns out to be true, I'm finding that person and I'm getting lottery numbers because it might take me 6 years to win, but I'm a win. Like if that happens, so I'd be curious to see. I also want to know, like, if Poltergeist is like the final evolution, does it like, is its final evolution like it turns into like an electric kettle? Does it turn into like a full-on barista stand at Starbucks? Like
an espresso machine?
Yeah, does it turn into like an espresso machine or something? Or like a cold tea press? I have a lot of questions.
I mean, the interesting one is Alcremie, because that's a Pokemon that looks fairly basic, that would be one of those one-off, just like doesn't really have an evolution.
He has
the Dynamax.
It seems like it's like the builds up. Maybe it starts out.
It starts out as an adorable little cream puff.
Yeah, or like it starts out as like the ingredients, like eggs and sugar. Like it starts out as like a little bundle of basket ingredients, and then it evolves into the cream, and then it evolves into the cake.
Alcremie is actually the reason why I'm a little bit suspicious of this theory.
Yeah.
It was a slow news week, so that's how this got onto the podcast. Usually I'm like, you know, Jim will send me like theories. I'm like, no, Jim, we're not covering speculation. but like we had nothing going on this week. So, but yeah, Alcremie has 26 different flavors. It's like the Baskin Robbins Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that makes me wonder, is like, are we also getting 26 flavors of its pre-evolved form?
I would probably say, if anything, I would say it's, you would get the base level of its pre-evolved form, and its evolved form is a mystery, or it's random. Like, I could, like, that would actually be
pretty interesting. Or you go to a restaurant, they have, like, different flavors of, literally, like, vanilla flavoring, mint flavoring. Right, and then you, like pour it on the Pokemon, and it evolves.
Because, I mean, theoretically, flavor. You're going to have to get ingredients to make your curries.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Well, there was the Pokemon, the butterfly Pokemon from Gen 6. You know, that had a bunch of different, like, patterns.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's not without precedent that, you know, the two pre-evolved forms were just, like, normal Pokemon. And then when it evolved into Vivillon, I believe its name was, it had the different patterns. It was based on what region, like, you know, because Pokemon, you know, depending on where you buy your Pokemon game, it's coded into the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so like, you know, our US versions will have one version of Alcremie, while like, you know, the UK version will have a different version. And like, and that's possible. But
I just feel like with so many types, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, it makes sense with the butterfly, because like literally butterflies in different regions of the world, you know, have evolved differently and they look different.
Well, I mean, that's kind of why I like
flavors. I like, you have flavors. I mean, they're basically universal if you buy them.
Well, that's why I kind of like
the. But you know, back then, they had different regional cuisines. We have different types of regional desserts, I guess.
Back then, what age do you think this game is taking place in?
That's kind of why I like the potential random idea for this, because I think that like there's always an aspect of grinding to these games, right? And so, in addition to shiny hunts and things like that, I think being able to grind for all the different flavors of Alcremie it's not for everyone. I mean, I certainly don't give a flying S about it, but you know that there's definitely gamers out there who like that hunt.
I hate the implications of this, because like, what if you're a chef in the Pokemon world and you need Alcremie for your business, and you need more mint Alcremies because you're trying to make a dessert and you can't get it because whenever you evolve it or you catch one, it's not the right flavor. Like, I don't like the implications of this. Imagine how many abandoned Alcremies there are in the world. I'm getting really passionate about this. Just imagine, there's probably so many abandoned Alcremies because they're like, I don't like French vanilla. Sorry, this is just hilariously upsetting to me.
Well, so I want to rewind. I want to rewind a little bit, because it brings up something that we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks, as far as we have not gotten a large number of reveals leading up to the release.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have gotten, if this is true, is a number of potentially final evolutions. And so is that the reason why they are not showing us as many as they maybe? And do you, if One, do you think that this could be the case? And two, if it is the case, are you then okay with not being shown as many Pokemon?
I would definitely be okay with it. I mean, we know that there's at least five Pokemon species that has been shown in the trailer but have not been officially revealed yet. And that's not even counting Impidim, which, you know, has also not technically been revealed, but, you know, we saw it in the demo. So we know that there's more Pokemon out there. And if these are all evolutions, you know, this would probably get us close to, like, 40 or 50. And, you know, that's a pretty, you know, decent number. I mean, we know that we're going to have more than two, Galarian variants. So I think that, you know, this kind of helps explain a lot.
How many Alolan variants did we have? We had about, like seven or so?
Alolan variants? I think there was a total of, like, 12?
Oh, is that bigger than I thought? Like, the ones that stick out to me, obviously. Well, I'm not counting necessarily evolutions. Or evolution stages. I'm counting more, I guess, like,
so
bases.
The Alolan variants, the number is, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Are you counting evolution chains, or are you counting just
bases? Let me count evolution chains. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 species.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So 10, I think, you know, 10 is a, so let's say we're getting 50 or so new. Let's say we get 10 Galarian evolutions.
No.
Six.
That bumps it up to, the only thing that I don't want to see is like with Sun and Moon, we had like 50 normal Pokemon species. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like it was a very small set. And then there was like a gazillion legendaries.
Yes, I do not.
There's so
please,
many.
Please, Pokemon
Ultra
Company.
Ultra Beast.
Show
Mythical Beast.
Restraint
Beast.
When it comes to the legendaries. Please.
Yeah, and I like,
there's so many Ultra Beasts.
I like the Ultra Beasts. I just didn't like the fact that they were post-game. They were post-game. You can only capture like one of like half the species. You know, same thing with the legendaries, like all those different all the secondary legendaries, like the land spirits and whatnot, all post-game content. Civili, post-game content, you know, like it was all available after the story was done. And that's the reason why the story, people didn't like the story and how it dragged, because you couldn't get like half the freaking Pokemon until after the game was over. Do not do that again. For the love of God. Or if you do, at least give us the ability to punch Al in the face.
Aww. All right. With that being said, let's move on to our final segment, the Pokemon Fact of the Week. Christian, what do you got?
So, speaking of the land spirits, here is a fun fact that I bet people didn't know. The land spirits actually have real-world counterparts. The land spirits, of course, being the guardian deities from Pokemon Sun and Moon, actually have equivalents in the real world. There's not really a question here. It's just, usually I ask you, like, you know, oh, like, you know, what are those deities? You guys don't know Hawaiian mythology.
So that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask if it was Hawaiian-based or if it was something else. So, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, in Hawaiian tradition, there are four main gods. There's Kane, Ku, Lono, and Kanaloa. I think I might have butchered the last one. But each of those are, you know, basically got transferred over into Pokemon Sun and Moon. And a lot of them actually are pretty, like, directly, you know, tied together. Like, Tapu Koko is directly linked with the God of War. Tapu Fini, there's, like, a Pokemon that, you know, often, or not a Pokemon, there's a god that often resembles, like, a Marlin. And like that's how it's like depicted in these mythologies. So they basically just took the Hawaiian gods and then stuck them in the game, and they're like, "Oh, they're Pokemon now, guys! They're Pokemon."
That's pretty cool. And, I like when they do stuff like that. Like, I like when it's I like the stuff that is based off the real world region that, you know, they're based off of. Like, to me, it's just, it's a nice touch It's a cool thing, especially when you kind of learn it after the fact, mm-hmm. you know, like this, mm-hmm. where it's just like, you don't necessarily know, like when you look at Tapu Koko, you have no idea that that is something that's tied to it. But then like when you find mm-hmm. out, it just makes you appreciate it a little bit more, I would yeah. say.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm curious for Sword and Shield, because I'm like, right. all right, so Britain, and I'm like, well, their mythology, are they going to have like a Protestant Pokemon? Like, I was like, I was trying to think like the big breaks in that mythology. I was like, Protestant, Catholic? I don't know how they're going to take it that
well,
way.
I would imagine if there is not, I mean, Corviknight kind of feels like a step in that direction, but you know, not necessarily.
The only thing I can think of is, we've talked about before, is like the Arthur.
Yeah, the King Arthur stuff. Like we get
Arthur, Gawain, Gwendolyn.
There's all the Celtic legends and stuff like that. There's a lot of like, you know, cool like you know, Celtic and Gaelic
like Loch Ness, gods and
deities. You know, Nessie. there's a really rich mythology.
Yeah, like there's tons. I'm just like curious, like, what are they going to go with? Because like, especially the Scottish and Gaelic are more like naturalistic based, but like a lot of mm-hmm. like the bigger ones that you think for like are like specifically like humans. I'm like, but now that I've said it, I really want a Sir Gawain Pokemon. I'm not even going to lie. Sir Gawain and the Knights, I'm all about it.
Nice. With that, yeah. Go ahead, Christian. You got some?
No, I'm done. I don't have anything
He's
else.
He's agreeing with me.
He's agreeing. All right. Sometimes we read reviews that you guys have left for us on the air. And when we do, we send you a free comic book t-shirt. All you have to do is go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and if you hear it on air, you can email me, editor@comicbook.com, and we will get a shirt out your way. We have a bunch actually being sent out today. So hit us up now, and you can get in on the next round that we send. This one comes from the Bassman 09, which I appreciate, and the headline is Best Podcast, 5 stars. Love the podcast. The charisma of the hosts shines through with the humor and Pokemon facts. Great coverage of all things in the Pokemon world. I'm always telling all my friends about this podcast as we get ready for the release of the new games. I caught you guys 10 episodes already in and went back to the very beginning and binge listened through them. I love you guys. Keep up the amazing work. Heart emoji. Thank you, Bassman.
You know what? I said a heart emoji back.
Heart emoji back.
A purple heart emoji. That's like the highest one I can give. Oh,
nice. Excellent.
A+.
A Wild Podcast has appeared, comes out every Thursday, wherever Pokemon's can be found, Spotify, iTunes, RSS feeds, on the site, wherever you get podcasts, this podcast is surely there.
Did you just say wherever Pokemon's can be found, instead of wherever podcasts can be found? That's 900% what you said. Play it back, everyone. What I said. Sorry, I just had to point that out.
You've got recordings.
So do us a favor, tell all your friends, tell your parents, tell your siblings, tell your grandparents, about the show, hit that subscribe button, and we will see you next time. But before we go, if you want to chat about any of the things that we talked about today, or my love of Geodude, someone sent me a DM the other day of, and I totally forgot his name, and it's going to take me too long to pull it up, but a video of Geodude, and said, I bet you would be this type of Geodude trainer, and it was a great video. I'll send it to you guys so you can see. Anyway, if you want to talk about my favorite Pokemon, you can hit me up on Twitter, @JimBiscardi.
I'm on Twitter @MeganPetersCB to talk all things Vaporeon and all things Pokemon, because I am not selective about my favorites.
Yes, and you can find me on Twitter @CHofferCBus, and I will also talk about all things Pokemon except for the Geodude evolutionary line, because they suck.
Wow. We hope you had fun. We always have a good time doing this. We love interacting with you guys online. So as always, please feel free to reach out to us. And until next time, we'll catch you later.